our next interview will be about tonight's Trump-Netanyahu meeting. And then following that, we'll be talking about the future of the Cyrus Accords. And if you don't know what that is, well, you need to stay tuned. But it essentially is looking at pro-Israeli sentiment among Iranians in Iran and the world. But on the line now from Israel is Ilan Berman, who is the Senior Vice President of American Foreign Policy Council. And as I've been saying all afternoon, the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is in Washington tonight, where he'll meet with Trump at the White House half an hour after midnight South African time. At least that's when the meeting is scheduled for. The high-stakes meeting centers on Trump's 60-day Gaza ceasefire proposal, hostage releases, and broader regional security, including discussion on Iran's nuclear program. Ilan, thank you so much for joining us on the Home Run. Is this meeting just another media moment for Trump, or do you see real leverage behind the 60-day ceasefire plan?
Well, I think it's all of those things. I think it's certainly, first and foremost, a triumphant very public meeting, because it comes on the heels of U.S.-Israeli coordination with regard to Iran. But there's also, I think, a very significant strategic agenda that the two leaders have to discuss, right? You mentioned the Gaza ceasefire, and that's very clearly top of mind. It's clear that the White House has a quid pro quo for its assistance to Israel in the campaign against Iran's nuclear program, is expecting a very rapid wind down of the war in Gaza. But there's also the question of what happens next with regard to Iran, because the Iranian nuclear program is delayed, but it's not necessarily deferred indefinitely. And then there's also the question of the expansion of the Abraham Accords, because one of the parallel tracks that the Trump administration has been working very hard has been to try to bring the new post-Assad regime in Syria in from the political cold. And that part of that is integrating them, normalizing their relations with Israel. So very crowded agenda overall.
Definitely is crowded. If I can just focus first on the 60-day ceasefire plan, from where you sit, how realistic is it that Netanyahu agrees to that deal right now?
Well, I think it's interesting because it's clear that the Netanyahu government's position on this has softened, and it's softened most clearly because the Israeli government has received a tremendous support from the United States, and now it's more willing to bend on its principles. Right, this ceasefire, 60-day ceasefire proposal, is basically the same proposal that's been on the table for months. What you have now is a newfound willingness, a newfound recognition on the part of Netanyahu to be receptive to the proposal. But the problem here is that even if the Israeli side is receptive, it's not at all clear that Hamas is as well. And while Washington has a lot of leverage over the Israeli government, it doesn't have any leverage really over Hamas. And so the idea, the sticking point, I think, that's going to emerge from this is whether or not Hamas really acquiesces to a proposal that may, in the Israeli mind, lead to its overthrow. I think both sides are very, at the moment, are trying to fake out the other side. Israel wants to sign on to a proposal with the assumption that it can resume the conflict, and Hamas is thinking about the proposal under the assumption that if Israel ceases hostilities, it won't be able to restart them.
Which is what I wanted to ask you. Who holds the cards here, Trump, Netanyahu, or Hamas? And who's driving the agenda?
The problematic dynamic I see here is that Trump is trying very hard to drive the agenda. He's been very successful so far, but he doesn't actually have a lot of leverage over Hamas at all. And, you know, there's this old saying that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? You push where there's give. And if he doesn't have leverage over Hamas, but he does have leverage over Israel, it may result in greater American pressure on Israel to bend to Hamas's demands in order to secure some form of a deal.
Trump's keen, of course, on locking in diplomatic wins like on Iran or Gaza. In your opinion, is this a legacy move or a genuine shift in regional policy?
I think it's a little bit of both. Clearly, the Trump administration, in terms of legacy, the strike against Iran, the military action against Iran, is a legacy-making moment. But an even more profound legacy-making moment is this normalization wave that began the last time President Trump was in office. This is something that the White House, I think, very naturally wants to continue. Very naturally wants to strengthen, and it may have the opportunity to do that.
If no deal comes tonight, and I'm talking specifically here actually about Iran, what do you think is next? More Doha talks, UN resolutions?
So in the context of Iran, I think it's a the Iranian play here is very weak in the sense that you're beginning already to see that the regime, it's rickety, but the regime isn't fundamentally challenged by its internal opposition. And this is, I think, a very important moment. The regime is going to take the moment, take this opportunity to strengthen its power at home. And part of that requires engaging with the United States to forestall any additional military action that may be destabilizing. So I think the Iranians, maybe not tonight, but the Iranians will be coming to the table shortly.
And lastly, given Netanyahu's coalition pressures, could he make hard concessions tonight or will he dig in?
I think he can. I think he's he can make hard concessions tonight. I think he's, frankly, more likely to make hard concessions later in the summer when the Knesset goes on recess, because there's something like a 3-month recess period. And if his real fear is that his coalition will break apart as a result of concessions on the Gaza front, then he's liable to wait until the Knesset goes out of session so that his government remains intact until they reconvene in October. I think there's going to be pressure on him, pretty significant pressure, now that the Iran file for the moment is closed, to give something to the White House as a response, as a gift in return.
Thank you, Alan, for helping us cut through the noise. And of course, this is a story that we'll pick up tomorrow when The Home Run is back on air. That is Ilan Berman, Senior Vice President of American Foreign Policy Council.